of fear, because if you've read something on, you know, social media about a hospital policy that might not actually be accurate.
Yeah. How has the pandemic changed how you work with home births?
So probably not as much as it's changed the women that are going to the hospital. For us, when our in March and April, we closed our office and we were doing home visits for everybody because our office was really small and it was easier for us to go to someone's home and wipe down our equipment than have to wipe down our office between each client. And our waiting room was very small too, so we couldn't socially distance. So now that things have opened up again, we're back in the clinic and we ask every client that comes in to take their temperature and to, sign that they haven't had any symptoms. We do have swabs to do COVID testing, which we offer at 39 weeks, but no one in the Mennonite community right now has asked us for that test. And quite honestly, we're still going to, allow them to have a home birth, whether they have COVID or not. We're just going to use precautions. So that part probably doesn't matter much, but we haven't seen an outbreak in that community. They are experts at socially distancing. They did it a long time before we had to. So, and at births, we wear our N95 masks and take precautions that way and keep ourselves safe. And it's been an amazing opportunity to work with this community. And I have a whole new love for home birth. And if I have another goal in this profession of mine, it's to make home birth, not to make it more safe because it is safe, but to get the medical community on board and hopefully get a reputation that it is a safe choice for women like it is in other countries.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you so much, Jen.
Yeah, of course. It was great talking to you.
Yeah, it was great talking to you too.
And now we're joined live by Senior New York State Campaign Director for Compassion and Choices, Corinne Carey. Welcome back to HMM, Corinne.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So for our listeners that maybe haven't heard before, can you explain what Compassion and Choices is?
Compassion and Choices is a national nonprofit organization working to improve care and expand choices for people at the end of their lives. We work to really help people chart their own end-of-life journeys.
And can you talk about the award that Compassion and Choices recently won for your Barbara Hammer film?
Absolutely. We were very honored to receive an award for a film that I worked on highlighting one of our terminally ill advocates. The award was presented by a group called the Share Care Awards. And let me take a second to explain what that means. This is a group that is affiliated with the National Academy of Television Arts and Sciences. And so it's not an Emmy, but it is associated with the organization that does the Emmy Awards. And so we're really proud of this. It's sort of an Emmy for healthcare advocacy, let's put it that way. Katie Couric presented us with the with the award on October 15th. And it was a real honor. We were in the category with groups like really excellent groups like the AARP and other groups that provide critical health care. So it was a real honor.
So tell us how the film came about.
Well, we work to lift up the voices of dying New Yorkers in our campaign to get the New York State Legislature to pass what's called the New York Medical Aid in Dying Act. And that bill would allow terminally ill people to say to their doctor, look, if you can't cure my disease, and if you can't relieve my suffering, I'd like the option to get a prescription for medication that I can take at a time of my choosing, to die peacefully on my own terms. This is known as death with dignity in other states. One out of 20 Americans have this right. Last year, New Jersey and Maine became the latest states to authorize legislation like this that provides this option to terminally ill people. And so in the course of, you know, helping lift the voices of people who are suffering at the end of their lives, I got a message over social media from a woman that I had worked with in a previous career around sex trafficking. And she told me that her partner was dying of ovarian cancer. And they knew about my work in New York to authorize this option. They very much wanted this option for themselves. And would I be interested in coming to their apartment in the West Village to film this woman talking about her suffering and her experience and her desire for this option. So she told me her partner's name, and I Googled her, and I found out that she was a famous pioneer filmmaker in the lesbian community. Well, I am not a filmmaker. I'm a public policy lawyer, and I was incredibly intimidated. So I agreed to do it because how could I not honor this dying woman's wish? But I went about a quick study of how to make a film with my iPhone. I ordered an external microphone and a tripod, and I, you know, participated in a couple of tutorials. She asked me for a script, you know, so I sent her some suggestions about how she might frame her remarks. And I showed up at her apartment in the West Village about a year and a half ago, and she did. She did the interview in one take. The only reason we had to retape it was that the subway ran under her apartment during the first take, and we had to re-record because the sound wasn't so great. But she was an absolute pro, really amazing. And, you know, I worked with a film editor to polish it up. And basically her story was that she had undergone over 100 chemotherapy treatments. She was in hospice, and she was ready to say that when the suffering became too great, she wanted to call the shots. She unfortunately did not get to do that. She passed away without this option. But I'm so pleased that her words live on, to advocate for other people who are suffering with the same kind of cancer, other types of cancer, and want this kind of autonomy at the end of their lives.
How was her message was directed at the New York State Legislature to pass the New York State Medical Aid in Dying Bill? How was it received by the legislature?
Well, you know, I think that the film was moving. And I think that unfortunately lawmakers in New York have been focused on so many other priorities that they haven't paid close enough attention to this issue. And, you know, if you've ever spent any time at the Capitol in Albany or you've watched legislative campaigns, you know, there needs to be a significant grassroots movement to create the kind of social change that this legislation would bring about. And unfortunately, it's not a feel-good issue. It's not like marriage equality. It's not like some of the environmental issues that we see. It's hard for dying people to get in a car and travel to Albany, find parking, you know, make their way up the stairs, get to the chamber, and make their voices heard. And so these videos are a really critical way of getting these messages across. Unfortunately, lawmakers have not seen this as a priority. And what I tell them when they say that, is that medical aid in dying is not a priority for anyone until it is, until you're a family facing the end of life and there's nothing that you can do for a loved one that is begging for relief from the kind of pain that people experience at the end of life. So it's not a priority until it is. And I don't wish the kind of suffering that Barbara and her partner Flory underwent on anyone. But I know that during this COVID-19 pandemic, people have seen far more death and dying experiences than anyone should bear. And I think now is the time that lawmakers really need to face up to the fact that we need a better way to deal with people who are dying.
And Corinne, how do you expect this bill's going to go? Do you think next year when the legislature reconvenes that there may be a vote on it?
You know, I certainly hope so. I think that's what voters want. You know, the polling is overwhelmingly in favor of medical aid in dying across every demographic, race, religion, party, geography. You know, and the legislature last year took up a number of really important issues and passed them. I think that if, you know, if lawmakers see that they're not going to lose their seats over bills that are perceived to be controversial, but are in fact not controversial. And I'm talking about, you know, gender equality. I'm talking about reproductive rights. I'm talking about addressing sexual assault and addressing the climate. All of those bills were considered controversial. But if people who voted for that legislation and were on the right side of history on that legislation survived this election, you know, I think they'll see that they can withstand something like this. There, no one has ever lost their seat across the country for voting for or sponsoring a piece of legislation that authorizes medical aid in dying. And New York lawmakers need to see that. So I think, you know, there's a demand now from voters in New York to see them take this measure up and pass it in 2021. It should be passed in 2020. Don't get me wrong. They're not done. They could still come back and do this job, but I'm a realist. And I think that this bill is going to be ripe for 2021, and I hope that they take it up and pass it.
Corinne, is there anything that we haven't asked you that you'd like to mention?
Well, I think that, you know, if there are listeners out there who have a story about a loved one who has passed away, you know, with unnecessary suffering, or if there's, you know, God forbid, someone in the audience who's dealing with a terminal illness now, and they want this kind of autonomy at the end of their lives, you know, not all of us would make the choice to ask for medical aid in dying, but many of us want that option. And if there are listeners out there who've experienced the death of a loved one who suffered needlessly, or who themselves want this option, I would urge them to get in touch with me so that I can help them amplify their own voices with the lawmakers that represent them in Albany.
How would they get in touch with you, Corinne?
They can find Compassion and Choices New York on Facebook, or they can email us at ny@compassionandchoices.org. And that's all one word, ny@compassionandchoices.org.
This has been the Senior New York State Campaign Director for Compassion and Choices, Corinne Carey. Thank you for joining us, Corinne.
Thanks for having me.
At the October 13th meeting of the Albany County Legislature held on Zoom, a routine resolution updating legislation related to the state's shift away from plastic bags resulted in a lively discussion of what constitutes a tax, demonstrating continuing controversy on anti-plastic laws, particularly from one party whose strongholds are not in the city itself.
Madam Chair, I had my hand raised for ask a question or make a comment.
Is that you, Mr. Bergdorf?
Yes.
Chair recognizes Mr. Bergdorf.
I made these same arguments in the law committee. Timing is everything in life. And unfortunately, establishing a tax on paper bags at merchants, it's a terrible time during a pandemic. As it is right now, there are a number of grocery stores where if you bring your own bags with you, you are told to put them underneath the cart. When you check out, the people will not touch your bags, and you have to go out under an awning and pack them yourselves, because your bags are considered a potential contaminant to people in the store. Also, in addition to this, this is this 5-cent tax. A portion goes to the state of New York, and a portion goes to Albany County. And while we have said that the portion that goes to Albany County will be redistributed in the form of bags to people of need, it also should be noted that people in certain programs are already exempt from the 5-cent bag. It may be a better use to put that extra money into a deficit reduction fund for some period of time. So I'm going to vote no. I have bags in my car, but this law is not working out the way that people thought it would. And it is at a time of pandemic, it is not the right time to put it into place. So I will be voting no.
Mr. Reinhart?
Can you add me as a sponsor, please?
So noted.
I just want to kind of explain what this is. This is a technical amendment to the underlying paper or plastic bag ban and fee bill that we passed last year. It just makes some technical changes that were provided to the county attorneys and the majority council to ensure that we were in full conformity with the state in order to fulfill the underlying purpose of the plastic bag ban and fee local law that we passed last year. So this is not something new. This is a technical amendment and a technical change, and that's it. And I will note that the state did briefly pause the plastic bag ban, but I know the pause is going to be lifted imminently. And we have to get on with the purpose of the local and state laws, which is to ensure that the plastic bag ban goes into effect and that we don't create a new pollution problem by having everybody switch to paper bags. I will also note that Price Chopper's already started discontinuing plastic bags after a brief pause. And the other large chain in the area, Hannaford, is also allowing folks to pack their bags. So I think, you know, we're in a transition, but, you know, I think we're seeing a return to sort of some grocery store normal behavior, or a new normal, I should say. But this is nothing new. It's a technical amendment to the underlying local law that we passed last year overwhelmingly.
Mr. Grimm?
Thank you, Madam Chair, very much. Yeah, I just want to underscore that just the unfair nature of this tax and its distribution. We're at a time when the state is cutting school districts, in some cases, by 20% of state aid. And yet what this tax does, it takes money from county residents and sends it 60% of it back to the state. Out of the 5-cent tax, 3 cents goes to a state fund, and the other 2 cents goes to a county fund. So here we're in the circumstance where at a time when the state is cutting needed funds to not only school districts, but they may indeed be cutting funding to the county, which is going to have a lot to do with our 2021 budget. We're actually taking money from the county and sending it to the state. That's completely unfair, and there's no way I can support this. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Grimm. Ms. Cunningham?
Yeah, I just wanted to emphasize and amplify one very, very important point. This is not a tax. Tax is something that you're required to pay. You are not required to pay a 5-cent fee. If you bring your bag or don't take a bag, then you will never have to pay 5 cents for a bag. It may be inconvenient at times at certain stores that don't let you pack your bags. I sometimes put everything back in my cart and put it right in my car and pack it myself. And yeah, you know, we're in a little bit of a transition, but this is not a tax. You don't have to ever pay 5 cents. And I plan to never pay 5 cents for the purchase of a bag. And I know there are many, many other people that will not as well. It is not a tax because you have a choice whether or not you will ever have to pay 5 cents for a bag.
Thank you, Ms. Cunningham. Chair recognizes Mr. Fine.
I'd just like to be added as a sponsor.
Mr. Peter?
I would also like to be added as a sponsor. Thank you.
So noted.
Madam Chair.
Yeah, add Merton Simpson as well.
So noted, Mr. Simpson.
Guerrero as well.
So noted, Mr. Barrero.
And me too.
McLaughlin.
So noted, Ms. McLaughlin.
And me too, Madam Chair.
So noted, Mr. Reedy. All right, we're ready for the long roll call.
Hey, Wanda.
Who is that?
Commissio.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Commisso. Mr. Graham.
Yeah, I'll be brief, Madam Chair. Thank you. Of course, this is a tax. It's being imposed by the government against someone's will. It's a tax.
Okay.
And, you know, if people are going to vote for a tax, they should stand up and say, okay, I'm for this tax. Under that logic, sales tax wouldn't be a tax because you don't have to buy the products when the sales tax is imposed. So I want to be clear, we're voting for a tax tonight. If you vote in the affirmative, you're voting for a tax. Thank you.
Long roll call.
Beston.
In favor.
Bruski.
Aye.
Whalen.
No.
Willingham.
Yes.
So now I have 14 no's and 23 yes.
One moment, please.
So passes.
Local law C passes 23 to 14. Thank you, everyone.
For clarification, Hannaford's throughout the area were not letting customers bag their own groceries or use their own bags over recent months. This has been Paul Smart reporting for Hudson Mohawk Magazine.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
Next, we hear from Sky Furrows, which is Columbia County poet Karen Schomer with Capital Region musicians Eric Hardiman, Mike Griffin, and Phil Donnelly. Their self-titled album Sky Furrows came out in October 2020, and this is Ensenada. Thank you.
accelerating engine excited us. We too were in a rush. We longed to be closer. A motel appeared in the distance. Daylight drowned its rooftop neon. The sun chimed its hours. The moon pulled the tide of our hands. Face the ocean. Narrow timbered legs extended down the cliffside beneath the balcony. The lock was broken on the inside. We didn't know what to do. There was no phone, no TV. We were afraid to leave. We ate what we had with us. Bags of chips, warm soda from a convenience store. A painting of the ocean hung next to a window with the same view. The sun hastened its hours. The moon pulled the tide of our hands. Senses. Darkness stole into the room. Transparent crests and peaks played across the walls. The sound of waves grew louder. We lay on our backs, listening. Each crash became distinct. Each seemed defiant and alive. We felt as if we were at war with an unseen enemy. Each wave a soldier wielding a bayonet, aiming to pierce us. And that as they fell one by one to their deaths on the rocks below, they nevertheless pressed closer to us. The night chased its hours. The moon pulled the tide of our hands.